From the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will or of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Those are the glorious words of Advent. If you look back at John chapter 1, verse 14, look at that last verse with me one more time. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The one who made all things. The one who, as John chapter 1 tells us, there's nothing that we see or have or know that was not made by him. The Creator of all things, God. Took on flesh, fingernails, hair, teeth. He walked, he slept, he got tired, he became hungry. God took on flesh and entered into the world and dwelt among us. He came into this world on that first Christmas. He entered into the mess and the chaos. He entered in at the bottom. He entered in to a family who couldn't even get a decent room. He was born in a stable, in a no-name place. He entered into this world, entered into our mess, our chaos, our brokenness. The one who was holy and powerful and who created all things. Today, our family went for our regular trip to our to Waffle House for breakfast, to carb load for the year, for the winter. And when we were at Waffle House today, we realized, and I know this is part of Waffle House's kind of policy, that the gentleman who was greeting and helping and filling cups was none other than Joe Rogers Jr., who is the CEO of Waffle House. And there he was in our little local Waffle House, greeting people, filling drinks, catching, carrying back and forward to and fro. This is the CEO of a company that has 1,600 locations in 25 different states. I don't know how much Mr. Joe Rogers Jr. earns, but it's probably a significant amount. And there he was, the CEO of all of Waffle House, filling our drinks, finding silverware. It's a beautiful policy that Waffle House has. Now, tomorrow, their VPs, their presidents, will be washing dishes in Waffle Houses across your country. And yet that pales in comparison. The CEO of Waffle House filling drinks in my little local Waffle House is a cool thing. But on Christmas, we celebrate that God took on flesh. The one who created all things. The one who created all things came to dwell among us. That's the awe and the wonder and the magic of Christmas, that God dwells among us. I also noticed at Waffle House today that we were getting spectacular service. I got hugged a couple of times by our waitress. So did all of my family. There were a lot of employees there, and people were covering for each other, and people were working hard and being very, very diligent. And I realized afterwards, it was like, oh yeah, the CEO is in the house, of course. And as great as it is for the CEO to be there serving, as an employee, it also is a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure to perform, to have the big man there, to not mess it up, to not get it wrong, to not be caught daydreaming, to not get behind. And as beautiful as it is that God took on flesh and came into our world, as awe-inspiring as that is, we also understand it's a little scary. God didn't just drop in for a quick visit. God didn't just take us out to eat at a restaurant or meet us at the mall. God came to dwell. He came to stay. He moved into our house. And that's a problem for us. Because as we read, if you look with me again at verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. Look at verse 9. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. A God entered into the world, and then, like now, we don't want him too close. We don't want him too close. But yet God will not be held at a distance. He will not get the polite messages like our family do and leave after a couple of days. God came to redeem this world. And that meant dealing with our darkness. That meant shining a light on our brokenness and our rebellion. On how we would like him to leave us alone. How we would like him to not mess too much with our lives. How we would like him to show up at certain times and then the rest of the time give us some space. How his light exposes the things that we don't want to be exposed. The things that we've done. The things that we haven't done. The brokenness inside us. God comes and dwells. And it raises the question, it forces the question, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? And John chapter 1 tells us, look with me at verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That is the point of Advent. That is the point of God taking on flesh. Is that we might receive the right to become children of God. I mean, it's astounding. We who know that darkness inside of us, or we who know that rebellion, we who know our failures and our sins, he came to give us rights, and the right to become a child of God. And the verse 12 and 13 tells us that right is not by our own effort. It's not by our birth. It's not by the will of the flesh or by the will of man. We are born like every human being on this planet is born. We are born because of the choice of another. And God came that we might be reborn as his children. What does the Word of God want from us? It wants to restore us to be his children. And God took on flesh in Jesus Christ that he might restore us by his goodness, by his obedience, by his faithfulness, by his perfection, that he might be the one who would restore us to our Father. and give us all of his perfection and take all of our rebellion. So what will you ask of your Heavenly Father this Christmas? Children are not afraid to ask. Children are not afraid to speak and tell us what they want. Whether it's a monkey for Christmas, whether it's a pony, you know, they're not afraid to ask. What will you ask of your Father this Christmas? Oh, what's the point of having a father if you're not able to ask him of anything or for anything? These are difficult times, difficult financial times, difficult employment times. The stresses of selling homes or being out of work. The stress of seeing savings dwindle. Wondering about our financial stability in the future. What will you ask of your Father this Christmas? God came into this world and his own people did not accept him. We know the reality of brokenness in our families, relationships that are strained, things that are not where we want them to be, loneliness and isolation. Christmas can be a time where we feel acute pain and sorrow as we think about those who are not with us, those and our families and our close friends who have passed away. The holidays are always a more painful time because of those things. We also know, as John has talked about, the darkness inside of all of us. We know the things that we are struggling with. The people that we want to be but aren't. The people that we are that we hope no one else sees. What will you ask of your Father this Christmas? What is your Father, one last question, what does your Father want from you this Christmas? What does your Father want from you this Christmas? We become the children of God, and children need a parent. Children need a parent. And verse 12 tells us, but to all who received him and believed in his name. It's the simplicity of Christianity. What God wants is for you to receive him. And to believe in his name, to receive him, to open up your heart and your mind and to let him in, to believe in his name, to depend upon him, to trust him, to lean upon him with all that you have and all that you are. God wants you to worship him as he dwells among us. Earlier on this year, I was dropping off my middle son, Cooper, who's 10 years old. I was dropping him off early in the morning at school. He was going to have to go to before school care. I had a meeting to go to. And so he got dropped off about 45 minutes before the school day was meant to start. And he didn't have anything with him, and so I gave him my iPod and some headphones to listen to, you know, whatever. And I got one of those humongously, you know, massive storage-wise iPods with like 160 gigabytes or megabytes or something on it. It's ridiculous. And there's a lot of stuff on there. So at the end of the school day when I picked him up, I wanted to make sure that he hadn't lost my iPod. So I asked him if he had it. He said, yeah. And I said, so what did you listen to? Just wondering what he picked out of my kind of, you know, wide array of music selection that I have on there. And he said, oh, I listened to one of your sermons. I was like, what? See, I listened to one of your sermons. It's like, you did? He's like, yeah, I listened to one of your sermons on the Gospel of Mark. I was like, what else do you listen to? Nothing, just a sermon. And that floored me and touched something very deep inside me as a father. And how much, what it means to be a father and long for a relationship with your children. And our Father God entered into this world that you might be restored to him. I'm not held at a distance. I'm not kept at bay. I'm not just in one room of the house. but that you might be restored to his presence, to hold his hand, to communion, to worship. And that's the joy and the glory of Christmas, that God has entered in, and in Jesus Christ taken on flesh, dealt with our sin and our brokenness, that we might become children of God. May you receive him this Christmas. May you believe in him. And may you know the joy of your Father. That's good news. I'm going to light the fifth Advent candle now as we celebrate the joy that has come into all of the world. As we celebrate the joy that has come into all the world. And as we sing, as all heaven and nature sings, that the Lord has come. He has come.